They've opted in, and they've opted in for content. So send them more content.
You're listening to the world's best business podcast with Stelly Efti and Heaton Shaw, who insisted on having Stelly's name mentioned first, despite him having more Twitter followers.
Shut up!
If you're an entrepreneur who wants to get shit done, stop everything else and focus on this podcast for the next 20 minutes. Then go back to work and crush it.
Hey, Heaton. Today I think we want to talk about lead nurturing.
Yeah, lead nurturing.
So, you know, you did some marketing, you did some prospecting, whatever the hell you did, you scraped some lists. You got some names and emails of people you want to approach.
You basically have emails.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now,
but they're a lead, because lead nurturing means they're already a lead. Or well, is it that this is cold emailing and I just have an email list? Like, so let's start on the right foot.
Yes. Yeah. Because I think people have different meanings attached to the word lead.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
So I think for the purpose of this podcast, it might be cool to look at it from both perspectives. Number one, let's look at a lead from a cold sales perspective.
Okay, so then that's not a lead.
Well,
how do you in sales look at it?
In sales, I would it depends on what organization you are.
So let's say you have a list of emails.
Yes.
And you've never contacted them.
Yes.
Okay. What do you guys call that?
So some people would call those prospects.
Yeah.
Some people would call that just a list. And some people would call that a cold leads.
Okay.
Right?
So in marketing, I guess you could say that's a cold lead, and a warm lead would be one that actually signed up.
Signed up. Exactly.
You know, somewhere on a lead gen form.
Yes.
Right?
So maybe that's the way we want to break it down. Let's talk about what
cold
you do with cold leads and what do you do with warm leads.
Okay, let's start with cold.
All right. So
cold is
like, cold is, well, you,
it's just a list of emails.
A list of emails.
Maybe you have their names.
You should.
Yeah.
Likely, hopefully.
Yeah.
There's just a finite number of how you create cold email lists.
Yeah.
Right? You either buy them.
Yeah.
You can scrape them.
Yep.
Or you can basically generate them very manually. Like you go on LinkedIn, you research people, you find them on Twitter. And
there's also a bunch of tools that help make it easy to get an email.
Yes.
So like there's just a lot of stuff around that. And it's actually interesting because like I get emails from people and there's no unsubscribe. But they emailed me, right? So it's also a new tactic, I would say, or newer popularized tactic where you get someone's email and you just email them as if it's not a marketing email. It's not a sales email, but you're just trying to email them.
You know, I think in the spirit of the law, when one human being emails another human being, that's totally fine. I don't need to, I didn't need you to subscribe to like Stelly is allowed to email me, right? But a lot of times what truly happens behind the scenes is that those emails are automated,
right?
They come from a personal email address, but they really are not like sent by a human being. They just, you know, a bulk email, right?
Yeah.
So one to many. And let's not go into the legality of if that's allowed or not.
I don't even care about that. It's just more about what's going on right now. Right?
I think what's going on right now, what you were experiencing probably is the popularity of cold or outbound sales in technology.
Okay.
I think it used to not be as popular or being popular more in the very like high-end enterprise kind of startups.
Yeah.
And the smaller SMB startups used to not do that at all.
Yeah.
And now outbound sales becomes more and more popular.
What do you think changed?
That's a good question. What changed? Probably a number of things. What comes to mind immediately is B2B startups realizing that like some fads just didn't hold onto their promise. So people realize that they can't just all build like viral apps in the B2B space, like be the Dropbox or be the whatever the example is, Yammer or like. So there's not easy ways to just build something really cool. And then in the B2B space, if it's SMB, it's just going to get adoption without a lot of like effort.
Yeah.
I think that that's definitely been one where people tried different startups went through different fashions of what to try, and all these things didn't quite work out as perfectly. So they looked for other ways.
Yeah.
I think that there were a bunch of people that started sharing knowledge in that space.
Yeah.
You know, Aaron Ross wrote the Predictive Revenue book.
Yeah.
I think I had a hand or two in the popularizing sales within startups. So more people started writing about it than they had like sales hacker meetups and conferences.
Yeah.
So it's more popular. There's more knowledge. And sales is not as foreign of a thing anymore that is weird. So most startups
not just limited to enterprise. Right?
Yes, it's not limited to enterprise.
Okay. Yeah, I'll add one obvious thing too, which is like, I think you're right. Enough people hit the problem of how do I get customers?
Yeah.
Right. And then they started trying to figure out how to get customers, and happen to be in the SMB space, and there happens to be a lot of, you know, like I remember, let's say 2 years ago, there was a company, they already sold, and it was a B2B company, and 2 years ago, they told me what they were doing, and what they were doing was scraping Crunchbase and a bunch of other stuff and doing all this stuff just to get an email and then emailing the people. And they got to, in I think 2 or 3 years, they were able to get from, you know, doing that all the way to an acquisition.
Right.
Right. It was a double digit millions acquisition. So it wasn't a small one. It wasn't an acquihire. And back then it was unique.
Yeah.
Right. I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting what you guys are doing. Right. We didn't really do things like that.
Yeah.
And so then I noticed the scrappiness. So I would say that part of it, I feel like came out of scrappiness.
Yeah.
Right. And people wanting a way to get customers and not, honestly, I think it's still one of the easiest ways to get customers is as outbound emailing. So, okay. So let's say I've got an email list,
right?
There's a lot of ways to get it. What do I do next? Let's talk about it from a sales perspective, because just my personal opinion is when you're doing cold emails and it's an email list that's cold, it's sales.
Yes.
You should treat it like sales.
Yes.
Don't treat it like marketing.
Absolutely.
Marketing to me is more of something someone inbounded in these days.
Yeah.
Right. It's not something you do outbound because it just doesn't work. So if you're doing outbound, I would first consider it a sales problem.
Absolutely.
Cool? Okay.
Absolutely. I think also framing it that way is good because you're going to write better emails or emails that get more responsiveness, because you don't want to write outbound emails or cold emails as if it's a marketing message or a newsletter or something like that. Because it's just going to get very low response and open rates.
Yeah. And people unsubscribe because they never subscribe to it.
Yes.
Right. But a human emailing another human, as you said, is fair game, so to speak.
So let's do two things. Step one, even stepping before the what do you do when you have the list, is spend more time than you want to on making sure you're putting together the right list.
So good target list?
Good.
How do you
target
do that?
List. Well, knowing who your ideal customer is.
Okay.
And if you don't know, you have to guess, but guess narrowly. Don't make it too broad.
So one of my favorite things to do is actually take that list and then throw it through an API like Clearbit.
Yeah.
And then get a lot more data. Because what Clearbit does is it'll give you the social account, LinkedIn, title, all kinds of company, all kinds of information, even if it's a personal Gmail.
Right.
So they really try to match it. The match rate's pretty good. So if you did that, then all of a sudden you end up with a spreadsheet.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
With a bunch of emails and a bunch of criteria.
Right.
Right. Okay. So that's better, right?
Yes.
That's a little more targeted.
That's a little bit more targeted.
Okay.
And then you really want to segment. So when you're starting out, if you say we sell HR software and the criteria is a company with less than 1,000 employees, that's still way too broad.
Yeah.
So then you might want to segment more and more, and you might want to have like 4 different cold email lists versus having one gigantic one.
Okay, so break the list out into groups.
Yes.
And figure out what are reasonable groups.
Yes.
So don't just say it's 1,000 employees or less, because there's probably a lot of companies out there that match that.
Yeah.
So what's the purpose of like grouping them? Like I just want to give people really tactical.
Yeah. The technical purpose of that is that you're gonna get results that are not frantic and they're not all over the place.
Okay.
So because if you email 1,000 companies in 1,000 different industries that all have 1,000 employees, you'll get very different results from each and every one of them, and it's gonna be hard for you to learn what worked and what didn't or who liked what.
Yeah.
But if you segment it out, if you break it down, you'll know this industry doesn't respond to this, but this industry does.
Okay.
And also the results you're getting are more likely to be consistent. So when you send 100 emails today, you're going to get similar results to when you send 100 emails tomorrow, versus when you mix a list, you send the same amount of emails with the same message and you get different results.
Yeah.
And that leads to you spending all this time in sending emails and not knowing what to expect or how to improve something.
So tactically, there's size of company. So bucket that up appropriately.
Yeah.
If you go look at some of the drop downs of when people ask for size of company, you can probably find the buckets. They're pretty common. Another way would be, as you mentioned, actually, I'll add a different one, title.
Yeah.
So what their title is. And as you mentioned, the next one's industry.
Industry.
Right.
Yeah.
And it really is going to depend on what you're selling.
Yes.
Right. Or what you're trying to market or whatever. Okay, cool. So we've got some groups.
Yes.
Now
we have the email list. Now the next thing that we need to do is we need to, because this is sales, what we want to do is we want to send emails in small batches, but we want to do that consistently. So
what do you mean by small? What's
well,
small?
Let's say you have 10,000 emails. You don't want to send a 10,000 email batch email at once.
Okay.
What you want to do is you want to send per sales rep you have or per person that's involved in this campaign, maybe 50 emails a day.
You would send 50 emails per person.
Per person
and you
per
say
day.
Per person because that's the email they're sending.
Yes.
Like human to human.
Yes.
Okay. So per person that's selling. So let's say if you're just a single founder, you'd send 50 in a day.
I would send 50 in a day.
Why is 50 the number? Just curious.
It could be 30, it could be 100, but it's not multiple hundreds.
Okay. And Gmail has a 500 limit. 500 Gmail, sends a day, right?
Yes.
Is that right?
That's Gmail does not say, does not state a specific number as far as I know. Yeah. But
I think it's actually 500.
It could be.
Yeah. Okay.
But what they'll do, even if it's not 500, I know of people that were sending 200-300 a day and then still got blocked from Gmail.
Makes sense.
Right? Okay. So one of the reasons you don't want to send thousands of emails if you're Google Apps is that they're going to lock you out of your email account.
Yeah.
You don't want to be blacklisted.
That's right.
And if you've made a big mistake in that email, if you send it to 10,000 people, that's it. You're fucked.
You're done.
You're done.
Your list is done.
Your list is burned, done, basically. Yes. Now you need to go and do all that work again. So the beauty of 50 a day per person is A, it keeps you out of the troubled water of like blacklisted and spam and all that. The next thing is it's a better workflow. So as a sales rep or somebody trying to do sales, you'll send 50 emails. If you do a good job, you'll get a few responses that you now need to follow up. You need to jump on a call. You need to schedule demos.
So you have work to do.
You have work to do. And what you're doing is you want to, you know, maybe at the end of the day, you send out the emails. At the beginning of the day, you reply to stuff. You make your calls and demos. And then you research another bunch of cold emails to send emails.
So you turn it into kind of a process and you have basically these different cold leads in different phases.
Yes.
Some have responded, some haven't, et cetera.
Yes.
Okay. So now let's say I've sent a bunch of these.
Yeah.
I've got a couple of responses out of 50, right? And I'm sending more every day.
You're sending 50 every day, right?
50 every day. Now what?
Well, now what you need to do at the very early days, my advice to you would be to stick in a mind frame of learning more so than on like immediately trying to get results. And somebody was asking me this, and I'd be curious to hear your opinion on it. Somebody was asking me, Stella, how do you do A/B testing in cold emails when you're sending small batches?
Yeah.
Like it'll take forever to know statistically correct things. So here's the hack that I suggested.
Yeah.
The first 1 or 2 weeks where I would start a new campaign, I would potentially follow up on calling these people and calling, again, people segmented, the people that didn't open my email, the people that opened my email, and the people that responded, right? Yeah. And my goal would not be to sell them or convince them, but to learn why they did or didn't do something or how my email was perceived by them. So
So you'd actually call them?
I'd actually call them.
That means you got to get their phone number.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Yes.
So that would be part of something you did.
Part of something. Yeah. If I the world I live in, I always want email and phone number.
That's cool. Yeah, it's good to know. That's a big thing.
Yeah.
It's a big difference between that and how maybe other people would suggest
it. Yes, yes. Right? So I would try to call people and figure out, you know, and the script that can be very simple. You call and you say, hey, I sent you an email this morning.
Yeah.
You know, I saw that you opened it, but you didn't reply. I just wanted to personally check in and go, what sucked about it? Like, what did I do wrong? Right?
Because they're not expecting that call.
They don't expect that call. They expect the call of, I send you an email and it would be really great. And they expect me to try to push them into responding or doing what I wanted them to do.
Yeah, but here you ask them a question they have to answer.
Yes. Yeah. And if you do it authentically, they'll want to answer it.
Yeah.
And now you're learning. And that doesn't mean that now that their guard is down and they start telling you all these things, doesn't mean that you can't keep talking to them and then